Hear my cry, I pray to thee, and to my voice incline your ear. Hold me and have mercy on me. Hold me and have mercy on me. For you, O Lord, I'm in great need. For you, O Lord, I'm in great need. My soul is troubled in the deep, and my eyes are full of tears. Now I remember you indeed. Now I remember indeed. For your salvation is near. For your salvation is near. All the waves came upon me. I was drowned in the deep sea. I asked for help where it could be. I asked for help where it could be. But in the hands of my Lord dear. But in the hands of my Lord dear. My heart is trembling in a great fear. And my head is wrapped in weeds. Out of the depth I cry to thee, out of the depth I cry to thee. Save my soul and set me free, save my soul and set me free. God ordered the whale in the sea to safely drop Jonah in peace. In the whale's belly, Jonah kneeled. In the whale's belly, Jonah kneeled. And thank the Lord for his great deed. And thank the Lord for his great deed. Hear my cry, I pray to thee. And to my voice incline your ear. Hold me and have mercy on me. Hold me and have mercy on me. For you, O Lord, I'm in great need. For you, O Lord, I'm in great need. You guys are awesome. Okay. Now you're ready for Jonah's fast in 3 weeks. So last week, I think Father Matthew gave you a talk. What was that about? Do you remember? No one remembers. Poor Father Matthew came all the way here, gave you a talk. Was it about service and avoiding?
God is the one serving. So
God is the one serving. So to avoid like vain glory and stuff like that, give the glory to God. Okay, awesome. Louder.
Allow God to work by repenting. Nothing will happen.
Yes. Excellent. Let me just get this to open. Okay, today we want to kind of talk about another aspect of service, and that's obedience in service. And here we go. And as the slides are coming up, maybe I'll ask you, this is interactive, and there'll be a quiz at the end, not a big quiz, but just to see if you were listening. Can you name some Bible personalities when we talk about obedience that come to mind? St. Mary, okay. Anyone else? Anyone in the Old Testament? Abraham, excellent. Anyone else? Noah, excellent. Very good. So let's talk about Abraham, first of all. So Abraham, you see, In this picture, you see Abraham, and like you said, he's obedient. Even before this scene, which is, as you know, when God called Abraham to offer Isaac, he said, "Abraham, Abraham, bring me your son whom you love and offer him up." And what did Abraham do? He didn't argue, and he arose early on that day and saddled his horse and asked his son. In the image that you see before you, you see how many examples of obedience? How many personalities? Two. For sure his son, you know, he wasn't like a young lad. For sure his son had figured out what was going on by that point. And for sure Isaac would have been able to kind of go like, "I'm not in this." So not only was Abraham willing, did he pass the test and obey God to that degree. Thank God none of us are going to be asked to do something similar. But his son also was obedient. Just like God the Father offered his son and Christ the Lord, the Son of God, was obedient to accept to be offered. Earlier, before the scene, which is in Genesis 22, 10 chapters earlier, God called Abraham to leave his family. And again, Abraham obeyed. So Abraham was in complete obedience to the Lord. And in the New Testament, you hear there's a chapter that I think in Hebrews that talks about the faith, and it says, in faith, Abraham did this, and it faith, and it talks about the forefathers. Faith means you have trust in God, you believe in God. If you believe in God and God loves you and you love God, then you obey. We're singing a song about Jonah. Is Jonah an example of obedience? Yes or no?
Latter obedience, like obedience after.
Eventual obedience. Yeah. So as you know, Jonah at first was fleeing from the Lord, disobeying the Lord's command to go and preach repentance to the Ninevites. But then, after his own repentance in the belly of the whale, that he went to preach and obeyed the second time. In this picture, how many personalities who are champions of obedience do you see?
Two
or three? Well, Jesus, but Jesus is also, he is God 100%, but he's also 100% human, and he is the role model of obedience. But for sure, St. Mary, like you guys said, and for sure, Joseph the carpenter. When you read in Matthew, the end of the first chapter and chapter 2 of St. Matthew's gospel, you hear about the angel of the Lord went and told Joseph to do this, and Joseph did it. And then the angel of the Lord went and told Joseph, leave here and go to Egypt. Joseph did it. Joseph, come back from Egypt. Joseph did it. Joseph, don't go here, go there. Joseph did it. You don't hear, actually, I don't even know if there's any words recorded that Joseph said. You don't hear much. Just like St. Mary, you don't hear many words from St. Mary, but you see action from St. Mary and you see action from St. Joseph, role models of obedience. Okay, so St. Mary is our role model, not just in obedience, but in many of her virtues. In obedience, she trusts in God and submits to God. And in Luke chapter 1, you hear she tells the archangel Gabriel, after he told her something very difficult, she accepts it and she says, "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be according to your word." So basically she said, okay. She said, yes. And she's also a role model, of course, in service. Right after she was told that she's going to give birth to the word of God, what did she do? She didn't go like, you know, post it on Facebook, look what... Or she didn't go like, look at me. She just went lovingly, quietly to serve her cousin Elizabeth and to care for others. Now Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste. With haste, like she went quickly to go serve. It's like Abraham in obedience went quickly to obey the Lord. And of course, the Lord Jesus Christ himself, throughout his life, and at all times was obedient to the will of the Father. And he says, you know, in Gethsemane, just before he goes through the passion on the cross, he says, Oh, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Of course, you know this cup means the suffering that he, let it pass. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. And then he goes on in the same prayer. Oh, my Father, if this cup cannot pass away from me unless I drink it, your will be done. Yes. They're not the same person. They're the same God.
Then he differentiate, but not as I will, but as you will.
Okay. So he is, we said he's perfectly human and perfectly God, right? Yes. But as a human being, he goes through all, everything that us human beings go through, right? He hungers, he thirsts, he's tired, he needs to sleep, right? He's in agony. So he's saying, you know, as a human being, like, if there was any way that this could pass.
He didn't want it to happen. His human side was like, I don't want this to happen.
Yeah, no one wants to go through that. But then he said, nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done.
That's his godly side, or his heavenly side saying that.
He's saying to the Father, whatever you want, let it be done.
Okay.
Yeah, excellent question. Okay, so to obey God, you have to know his voice, right? If I say, obey your servant, but you don't know, like, and you hear various voices, how are you going to distinguish who to obey, right? Does that make sense? Like, to obey someone, you have to be able to know when they're speaking to you, and that we call discernment. So to obey God, you have to be able to discern his voice. We say his sheep hear his voice, and you have to listen to his voice often to get to know him. How are you going to listen to his voice? Is there a SoundCloud where you hear Jesus' voice? Like, how are you going to? The Bible. Yeah, you listen to the word of God, and that's his voice. So we follow him as his children. We follow his footsteps, and we follow the footsteps of his faithful servants, the saints, who precede us. But we don't follow random strangers. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Okay, we're going to read quickly from John chapter 10. Maybe whoever has the microphone, but in a kind of loud, clear, slow voice. Look who got the microphone. Okay. There's different parts. You'll each, I'm sure, get a chance. So just starting with most assuredly.
Most assuredly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door and is the shepherd of the sheep, to him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of the strangers.
Excellent. Keep going, Rafi. So you see we're color-coding, if you haven't caught on to the color code, the red is the stuff that's bad that we don't want to go near. We are the sheep. We've painted us in blue, and we've painted the Lord. He says he is the door. He is the doorkeeper. Listen to his voice. So who's going to keep reading for us?
Jesus used this illustration, but they did not understand the things which he spoke to them. Then Jesus said to them again, most assuredly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture.
Excellent. Thanks, Rafi. And maybe pass up here to the ladies.
The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep.
Excellent.
The good shepherd.
But a hireling? Verse 12.
But a hireling, who is not the shepherd, one who does not own the sheep. Sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. The hireling flees because he is a hireling and does not care about the sheep. I'm the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and I'm known by my
name. Excellent. And finally, go ahead, verse 15.
The thief does not come except to steal 15.
As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep, and other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd.
Okay. Why are we reading all this when we're talking about obedience? What does this have to do? Let's see if anyone else can answer. Yes. That could be, yes, you're right. Sheep are very obedient. But why did we color code things? Like what's, yes?
It's because the shepherd represents God, the sheep represents us, and we must follow
God. Yes, yeah, and there's a danger, as much as it's kind of obvious in the illustration, but there's a danger that there's all these other characters, the thief, the wolf, that people sometimes start listening to their voice and following them instead of following the shepherd. The shepherd gives his life for the sheep. The wolf doesn't give his life for the sheep. The wolf wants to take the life of the sheep, right? Yes. A hireling is a hired hand. So in this example, it's someone who is paid to serve, but they're not really like, they don't care for the sheep, right? So they're doing it for their wages, right? But if danger comes, they're not going to put themselves out there to protect the sheep. Whereas the shepherd, he's going to give his life to protect the sheep. So that's why we put them in yellow, because I thought red would be too severe for them. But at the same time, you know, they're not going to be there to save us. Okay? So, you know, the point of all this is, who do we obey and who do we run from? Of course, we run from the thief and the robber, because they're there to kill and to destroy. We run from a stranger. They're not familiar. They don't know us. We don't know them. We run from unfamiliar or foreign teachings. We don't go after, someone, you know, invented this new teaching that there is no Holy Spirit. No, we don't. We have our teachings, and we have our shepherd, and we stick to those teachings. We run from strangers. Of course, we run from the wolf who's trying to abuse us or harm us. And we don't really get too attached to a hireling, because they're just hired. And like we said, they don't really care for us. The sheep hear the voice of the shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. And this is all like, why are we following him? Because he cares for us. He loves us. He knows what's best for us. And he's to the point that he gives his life for us. We obey the one who cares for us. To obey God, we need, like we said, to know his voice, to listen to his voice regularly. We do not follow strangers. And he is the good shepherd who knows what's best for us and who is able to protect us from our harm. He himself, like we said, obeyed to the very end. Though he was a son, we read in Hebrews, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. And having been perfected, he became the author of eternal salvation to all who obey him. So on the cross, he is saying the door to salvation, for your forgiveness of your sins and you being saved, is open to each and every one of you. But in order to benefit from it, you have to obey him. So it's not like Christ died on the cross for billions of humanity. Yes, he did. But it doesn't mean, unfortunately, it doesn't mean billions of humanity are saved, because there's two parts. God did the tough part, but you have to accept it by obeying him. Does that make sense? Like, God's not going to throw anyone into heaven. Actually, God's not going to throw anyone into heaven, nor is he going to throw anyone into hell. God's going to say, have you made up your mind where you want to go? If you have, then go. So if you want to go to heaven, show it by obeying him and following him into heaven. If you don't want to go into heaven, God forbid, then that's the other path. But God's not forcing anyone into heaven, and God's not forcing anyone into hell. It's by my own decisions whether I obey him and follow him to the everlasting life. Okay, just a few quick verses. Maybe, who has it read? The folks who joined us can read a few verses. So read a pair of verses for us from St. John's Gospel. This is from St. John's Gospel, right at the very end, before the Lord went to Gethsemane, where he's talking to his disciples in his farewell dialogue with them. Go ahead.
If you love me, keep my commandments. If anyone loves me, he will keep my word.
Okay. Go ahead, then.
If you love me, keep my commandments. If anyone...
The third line, the blue. If you keep...
I'm sorry, yeah. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love.
Yeah, Jesus never asked you to do something that he hasn't done. So he has fulfilled all the law to perfection, and he has been completely obedient. He's saying, I've kept my Father's commandments. Even I, Jesus is 100% divine, but he's saying, even I have kept my Father's commandment. You also need to keep the commandments.
To obey is better than sacrifice, 1 Samuel 15:22.
And then?
Blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it.
Yeah. Sometimes we think sacrifice is like if I sacrifice, I give up something. But if you do it without a spirit of obedience to the word of God, then you're actually not doing anything that's worthwhile. So to obey is better than sacrifice. Okay, and finally?
Now he who keeps his commandments abides in him, and he in him. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments.
Yeah. Okay. And I always love a quotes from Mother Teresa. She says, holiness does not consist in doing extraordinary things. It consists in accepting with a smile what Jesus sends us. It consists in accepting and following the will of God. So we all want to reach holiness. Right before Abuna is giving us communion, he says what? He says, the holies are for the holy. The holies, meaning the holy mysteries, the body and blood of the Lord, is for you people who are holy. So each of us is called to be a saint, to be holy. And she says, holiness is not in doing like extraordinary things. It consists in accepting with a smile what Jesus sends us. It consists in accepting and following the will of God, of obeying God. Now, we want to talk about different kinds of obedience. Who here is a son or daughter of God? Who here are children of God? Come on. You're all children of God. So we want to obey God as children out of love. Slaves obey out of fear. Slaves obey out of fear of punishment or fear of lack of the wages for a higher hand. Children obey out of love. Like children obey their parents because they love their parents and because they know that their parents love them and care for them. So we are children of God and we should willingly obey, not be forced to obey. We should, for example, pray because we love God and we love to pray to him, not because we're scared if we don't pray to him, we're going to fail our exam. Or if we don't do these checkoff things, something bad will happen to us. We pray because we love God. We obey because we love God. And we choose to obey. We're not robots who are mechanically forced to obey. We are children who willingly choose to obey. That's like what St. Teresa is saying. Accept with a smile the will of the Lord, whatever the Lord sends your way. Okay, this young child has a question for you. But if I am free, why do I have to obey? We all have free will. God gave us a gift. We're created in the image of God. And one of the things we have is freedom. Freedom to choose. Like we said, we're not forced to obey. If I'm free, why do I have to obey anyone? Okay, so there's a deep passage from St. Paul in Romans. I'm going to read it slowly and see if it makes sense to you. St. Paul says, do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are that one slaves who you obey. Okay? He said, whether of sin leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness. He's saying, don't trick yourself. You're going to obey someone. It's not like I'm free, I don't need to obey anyone. You're either going to obey righteousness or be obedient to God, which leads to righteousness, or you're going to be obedient to sin, which leads to death. So we're going to obey something, right? It's not like I'm just going to be randomly existing. So whoever you choose to obey, whether you obey God, which is what we call obedience, or you obey sin, which we call slavery to sin. So one path, again, we said this is our decision. One path is slavery to sin. Another path is obedience to God. We are free to choose, though. God is not going to force us to the right or force us to the left. He's going to present the options before you, and you're going to choose, and each of us has to make our decision. Does that make sense? So there's another question. Okay, so we're saying obedience, so we only have to obey God, right? We only have to obey God? Okay, what do you mean by yes? Fair, okay. We can't obey the devil and God. You can't serve two masters, so yes, you only obey God. But God has also put an order, right? Like, God gave you parents to look after you. God gave us, even a government system to set law and order. Yes? Yeah, no, that's a different point. He was saying, Paul says, we are all worshiping God. You're not here to worship Paul or Cephas or Barnabas. We are all like tools in the hands of God. One sows, another one reaps, but God gives the increase. So what he's saying there is like, don't be like, I love this Abuna. I don't. Go to any other liturgy for any other Abuna or vice versa. I know you guys don't do that, but I'm just giving you an example of what he's saying. Like, don't get attracted to the servant of God. Be attracted to Christ himself and follow his servants who are leading you to Christ, not leading you to themselves. But here, Paul is saying, remind them to be subject to rulers and authorities, to obey, to be ready for every good work, to speak evil of no one, to be peaceable, gentle, showing all humility. So of course we obey God first and foremost, but you honor and you obey your parents, but you do that in the Lord. For what I mean is, like, if God forbid your parents are telling you to do something which is against the Lord's teaching, then you don't do it. But obey your parents in the Lord and obey God's word, obey his faithful servants, and obey rulers and authorities in the Lord. Okay, in terms of how to obey, so obey little by little, like increase your obedience in the little things, like come to church early, try to come often, read the Bible regularly, pray your prayers regularly, and serve. Service should start always, we say, at the home. Like if you refuse to help out at home, whether it's with the dishes or taking out the trash or helping younger siblings or even just being a listening ear to someone who's down or depressed, then you can't really serve outside the home. You need to see opportunities for helping out those around you and not just look, I'm going to go serve in Africa or Bolivia or whatever. There's nothing wrong with that, but you have to always start serving at home and showing a spirit of service and obedience with those around you. I just put here two, when it comes to how to obey, I find two prayers in the Ishbeya section of Coptic Reader that are especially helpful. If you could add one or two of them to either your daily routine or your weekly routine in church, Where you find them is in, if you go in Coptic Reader under Ishbea, under prayers, guidance. There's two of them. You could stay seated, but we could pray together the prayer for God's accompaniment. Grant me your grace, O Lord Jesus, the long-suffering, and be with me that I may dwell in you unto the end. Grant me that I may ask and wish always for what is pleasing to you. Let your will be my will. Let my will follow always your will and be in accord with it in a perfect way. Let both of us have one will. For I don't want to desire anything except what you want and what you wish. Grant me not to lust for the things of this world, that I may dwell in you in all things and hold above all things the desire to be as you would have me be, and to do as you would have me do. You are the peace of my heart and the shelter of my life. You are the real peace and the only comfort, and apart from you, everything is hard and confusing. Therefore, in this peace which is in you, the great eternal good, I am able to rest. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. So those are useful prayers. The second one, the one for guidance, which is actually the first one in the Jbe, but it's in the green here. You can pray it when you have a specific decision to make. You see, there's a part that says, now that I'm about to start ... you could say that I'm about to start deciding which university to apply to or whatever. Or if you pray it on a daily basis, I'd like to say, now that I'm about to start the rest of my life. So these are asking God to be with us and to guide every decision. And you make decisions either consciously or subconsciously. You make hundreds of decisions. You decide when to speak and when to sit, stay quiet, what to say, who to say it to, what friends you hang out with, where to go. So we make tons of decisions, and we need the Lord's guidance in all of those. Of course, in the Lord's Prayer, we say, your will be done. So if we're telling the Lord, your will be done, then we have to do our part and be obedient to his will. Okay, just real quick, disobedience versus obedience and how they relate, how obedience relates to other virtues. We already said that if you love God, then you want to be obedient. And when you say if you love God, you love him because we saw in the passage from the Good Shepherd how much he loves you and he cares for you and he gives his life for the sheep. Obedience is also based on faith in God. If you trust God, you love God and you trust God, then it's easy to obey him. Whereas disobedience goes hand in hand with the vice of pride. Because pride means that I know better than God, so I'm not going to obey God. I know better. God says, do this. And I said, no, I think I'm going to do that. So pride is a very dangerous sin where I think I know better than God, so I don't need to obey. Whereas faith in God means I trust the Lord, and I trust that he knows what is best for me. God knows what's best for me, so I lovingly obey. You don't have to do the lovingly obey like a soldier. Like we said, we're not robots, and we're not slaves. We are children. So when the Lord asks you to do something and you don't understand it, it's okay to seek to understand it. But if I tell my child, don't put your hand in the electric socket, and because they don't understand about electricity and voltage, they say, well, I don't quite understand all that stuff, so I'm going to put my finger in the socket. It doesn't have a good ending. So just because we don't understand something God tells us doesn't mean we ignore it or we disobey, but it's fine to seek to understand. There's nothing wrong with that. Okay, now I'm going to ask you just to summarize for me if one brave soul can take each of the bubbles, like, who do we obey? Yes. The shepherd. Excellent. So why do we obey the shepherd? Who knows why we obey? He's our path to heaven, but in a general sense, because he loves us, he cares for us, he's able to lead us to safety, to the point that he will lay his life down in order to lead us to heaven. How do we obey? We left the tough one to, yes. Listening to his word, yeah, discerning his voice, and use those prayers, for example, that are in Coptic Reader, to help train yourself to ask the Lord to help you to be obedient to his will. I think we're going to stop there and take any comments or questions. Or do you want me to ask you more questions? I'm just kidding. Good. No questions? Stand up for prayer. Lord, help us to discern your voice and help us to be willing to obey your voice and help us to understand your plan for each of us so that it's easier to follow your will in our lives. And hear us when we pray through the intercession of St. Mary, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Give us this day our daily bread. Lead us not into temptation. Christ, you saw. Thank you, guys. Have a great weekend.